You may be seated. Take your Bible, if will, this evening to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 32, all right? Exodus chapter 32. If you have your Bible there, open it up. We're going to begin. We're going to really kind of go through chapter 32 for the most part. So don't close it after we read that first verse, all right? And we'll be looking through the whole chapter here tonight. I will remind you, right after service, need to meet with Sunday school teachers and children's church workers just for a few minutes. Won't take very long, and need to go over a couple of things, so hope you'll meet with us. All right, you're there in Exodus 32. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, as we open the Word of God, may you speak to our hearts. Lord, instruct us, teach us, help us to learn, Lord, from some of the experiences Moses had, and Lord, to be warned, and that make us careful, and make us circumspect in all that we do. Bless now, and everything done and said might be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Moses was, as you well know, he was the leader of Israel, and sometimes leaders have to do some things, and they have to deal with some issues that are just not very pleasant. They're not easy to deal with, all right? Sometimes those leaders say, well, I'd rather do something else, but they don't have a choice. You have to deal with it. And in this chapter, that's kind of the situation with Moses. He's confronted with the failure of the nation of Israel in really in the matter of their worship, okay? And boy, you talk about messing up, they messed up big time. Notice the Bible said it this way, they've corrupted themselves. They have corrupted themselves. Now, when leaders have to face and they're forced to handle such situations, the chances are really, really good they're going to be misunderstood, they're going to be misquoted, they'll be criticized. You can count on it, all right? Because one of the easiest things in the world to do is criticize the leader when he has to take an unpopular action, all right? And, I mean, it's just that simple. And Moses' problem, what we see tonight, we're going to look at Moses dealing with the sin of Israel. And, boy, when you have to deal with that, it's a difficult thing just to kind of set the situation. Moses had been up on the Mount of God, and God had been giving him the law, all right? And especially he had given him the Ten Commandments. He had written them with the finger of God. They had been written on tables of stone. They had been handed to him. And while God's dealing with Moses about that and instructing him and teaching him, verse 1 of chapter 32 says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. I mean, that's what happens after just a few days without Moses. They decided, hey, we need to do something, Aaron. We don't know what's happened to him. We haven't heard anything from him. And since that's the case, you make us some gods. And I want you to notice they did say this man that brought us out of the land of Egypt. Well, the man didn't do it. God did it. God did it. And that was their problem, okay? That was their problem. So they come to him, and so Aaron does what they request, and God tells Moses about what's going on, and he said, you need to go down there, and you need to deal with that situation. So I want you to look at several things. First of all, I want you to see sin was evident. It was evident. Look in verse 19, would you? Verse 19, when Moses got there, all right, verse 19, the Bible says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Hey, you could back up a few verses and you could see where they heard it before they saw it, okay? They heard what was going on before they saw it, and so he gets there, and I mean, boy, sin was evident. God had seen it. God knew about it, so he sends Moses down. Moses get there, and I mean, as soon as he gets inside of the camp, he sees, hey, what is happening? The people have gotten into sin. Listen, folks, you might be able to hide sin from men, but you're never going to be able to hide sin from God. Nobody can, all right? Nobody can. We try to hide our sin from men. Most people, you know, especially if you're professing Christian, you try to hide your sin. There was a day everybody did it. Nowadays, some even professing Christians are putting it on Facebook. But that's another subject, okay? But hey, a lot of that, we do it. We try to hide our sin. We try to cover it up. We don't want people to know what we've got going on. We don't want them to know about that sin. So we try to hide that sin. But the amazing thing is, you spend so much time trying to hide it from men, but what do you think, God can't see it or something? You just think, well, that doesn't matter. But here they were, man. The sin was obvious. Look at verse 25. Verse 25, notice what the Bible says. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Hey, man, it was obvious of what was going on, all right, that it was sin. Now, back up a little bit, though. Now, remember, what does it say? The people were naked. All right, I want you to go back to verse 5, though. Verse 5, this is the beginning of the chapter. And when Aaron saw it, that's the golden calf they had tooled to become their God. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, I don't know how many of you read your Bible, okay? And I don't know how closely you read your Bible. And I realize sometimes in the scriptures, reading about those Old Testament feasts is not the most exciting reading there is in the Word of God. I understand that. But if you read it, you know there's not a one of them where the feast involved people running around naked. But he said it's going to be a feast to the Lord. Man, look, I don't know who the feast was to, but it wasn't to the God Jehovah, okay? It didn't have anything to do with him. The Lord had absolutely nothing to do with what was going on. Look, no worship directed to the God of the Bible involves nakedness. None, all right? It just doesn't do it. Now, we live in a day where people are proud of their nakedness, all right? It's just absolutely mind-boggling. In years gone by, when I was a kid, people would have been arrested if they'd have been seen in public, all right? That includes at the beach, okay? But, man, people today were proud of it. And the sad thing is we've got professing Christians that didn't just act like there was nothing wrong with peeling off just about everything. And, they're out in public and more than they go to bed in. And we live in a day of that kind of stuff. Hey, I want you to see, all right, the sin was evident, okay? There wasn't any problem. Wasn't somebody come along and said, well, I just can't see it. No, they could see it. It was there. It was obvious, all right? But not only was it evident, it was prevalent. It was prevalent. It wasn't just evident, it was prevalent. It wasn't just seen in a scattered location here and maybe there, all right, in the vast group of the people of Israel. The sad thing is Moses didn't have to look hard to find it. He immediately saw it because it was prevalent, all right? Look in verse 6. Here's how prevalent it was. In verse 6 of Exodus chapter 32, and they rose up early on the morrow, this nation of Israel, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now notice who it said rose up to play. The indication is that everybody that sat down to eat and to drink, same crowd got up to play. The same crowd got up to sin, all right? The people. Hey, the indication is that pretty much all of the people did so. Pretty much all of the people did so. It's devastating, but when sin gets in the camp, it seeks to take control. It seeks to take control. You can't invite sin into your life. You can't invite sin into your home and think we'll control it. Because it'll always seek to control, all right? Always will. I just want you to see. You say, why are you making such a deal out of this? Because I want you to see how important and how devastating this was to the nation of Israel, okay? I want you to understand that, all right? It wasn't a minor thing. It wasn't something that a few were involved in. Man, it was prevalent. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that everybody was involved, but sure seems like definitely the huge majority were, just from the Word of God, all right? And this is the situation. Sin's evident, sin's prevalent. This is the situation where Moses was sent to correct it, all right? He was sent to correct it. Read verse 7 again. The Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. They have corrupted themselves, all right? Moses was sent down. Now, Moses wasn't sent down just on a survey mission, okay? He wasn't sent down to look it over. God sent him down. Why? Because sin doesn't correct itself. Sin doesn't correct itself. I don't care what the sin's involved in, all right? It has to be confronted so it can be corrected. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sins, all right? You got to confess them. You'll never deal with your sin until you admit, hey, I'm wrong. You'll never deal with it. You never correct your life. You'll never correct what's going on in your life until you get to the point where you realize and you admit, okay, I'm wrong. Amen. I'm wrong. God's right. What the Bible says is true. I'm the one that's wrong, okay? And so Moses went down there to correct it, all right? He was sent on a mission to do it. He wasn't sent down there, all right, to go along with what was going on, okay? That's not the reason he was sent. He wasn't sent to spectate, to observe. He was sent to fix it, all right? He was sent down to take some very strong action against the sin of the people and had to. That means he had to confront the whole crowd, all right? He had to confront the whole crowd. Now, how do you get the attention of that bigger group? Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Here you are. You're dealing with it. You ever had to try to get the attention of a big crowd of people? God bless me with the ability to whistle pretty loud. And so a lot of times, you know, if I want to get people's help, I don't yell, I whistle. And when people hear a whistle in an unexpected place, they'll usually stop and look around, all right? That's good. That's what you want them to do. But I'll tell you what, you're dealing with the people Moses was. I don't care how loud he could whistle. It wouldn't have worked. Look at verse 20, all right? So what did he do, all right? And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Now remember, they had just made this new, if you will, God, okay? And Moses shows up and he takes that thing and he burns it in the fire. He grinds it into powder, all right? Listen, you talk about getting somebody's attention. Hey, that was our earrings. That was our earrings. We donated for that purpose. We gave to contributed to build that. What do you think you're doing? Hey, he had their attention. Oh, Moses had their attention, all right? That golden calf needed to be totally destroyed. I want you to notice, they didn't take that calf and say, now, we're going to put this away. We're going to put it in the roving Israeli museum so you can be reminded. No, sir. No, sir. That thing needed to be completely destroyed. He said, what did Moses do? Moses destroyed the focus, if you will, for the sin. He destroyed the focus for that sin. That calf, all right, it was the focus of the disobedience and the sin of the people of God. Here they were, they had got together, like I said, they had contributed to it. All their earrings had been melted down to make this golden calf. Here comes Moses, he tears it up. I'm sure some of those people thought, you know, themselves. There had to be, because people are people. Who does he think he is? Well, Moses knew who he was. Moses knew he had been commanded by God to take care of something. He was taking care of it, all right? He was taking care of it. Not only, though, did he destroy it, but I remind you, remember what God told Moses there in verse 7? He said, the people have corrupted themselves. So here's Moses. He comes along, takes that old golden calf, and burns it in the fire, takes it, grinds it up into powder, and then he takes, and really, if you will, corrupts the water with that, and then he said, drink it. Can you imagine how that would make you feel? Because just a few hours before, you were dancing, worshiping that thing, and now you're swallowing it. Now you're swallowing your God. I think old Moses made it real plain. There's your God, you can swallow him. That's just how great a God you've got, okay? You just swallowed him, all right? Moses let them know that so-called God they were worshiping, it could be swallowed. It could disappear inside them. And he came at them with that way. Listen, you say, well, he polluted the water with it. And he did, but I'll tell you this, sin always pollutes everything it touches. Sin pollutes everything that it touches. It pollutes the life of individuals. It pollutes churches. Pollutes families. Man, and that's just what it does. It is that kind of an agent. And Moses was bearing that out in front of these people and letting them know, hey, here's this thing you built. But I want you to know we're going to destroy it. After he dealt with that and had their attention, Moses turned to their leader, the guy that was responsible for that calf. Look at verse 21, would you? And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Listen, Aaron was second in command under Moses, all right? He was second in command under Moses. He had been left in charge. He was the one left in charge while Moses was on the mount. Aaron knew what was going on. There wasn't any doubt that he knew what was going on. But he's supposed to be taking care of things. Instead, he winds up letting the people lead him, all right? Instead of him leading them, they led him. And you can't help but think, seemingly, he wanted to be popular more than to be pure before God. A lot of people like that today. They're more concerned with popularity. More concerned with popularity. That's the kind of leader that says, I am your leader. Where do you want to go? That's not a leader, okay? That's not a leader. The leader takes you where you need to go, all right? Where you need to be, all right? And man, you talk about a pathetic answer. Aaron's answer to Moses is about the most pathetic thing I've ever read. The first thing he does there in verse 22, let not this anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Moses, let me just explain to you, it's their fault. That reeks back to two people. You remember them in the Garden of Eden? Lord, it's that woman you gave me. Woman said, the serpent. Uh-huh. And here Aaron is hundreds and hundreds of years later saying, you know them people. They're just set on mischief. It's all their fault. And, you know, if he had stopped there, it would have been okay. But he didn't stop. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And I mean, really, you took all of those golden earrings, you cast it in the fire, and whoa, look at there. It was amazing. Oh, it wasn't amazing. And then Aaron himself couldn't even believe that story, all right? Nobody could believe it, okay? I mean, it's there. His answer is absolutely pathetic. So here we are, okay? Here we are. Moses has dealt with the focus of that sin. He's destroyed it. And he's humiliated those folks in one sense and made them drink up their God. He's confronted Aaron and he's listened to the ridiculousness of Aaron's answer. And then he had to take some action. Would you look there in verse 26? Verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. All the sons of Levi. That's what I said to you. I'm sure there were some that didn't participate in the ungodliness, worshiping that golden calf. But by and large, most everybody did. But the Moses steps up, and I believe under the inspiration of God, asks that question, who is on the Lord's side? Now, here's what he had to do. He had to bring about some separation. Separation, all right? Look, if you're going to be on the Lord's side, you're going to have to separate from some things. If you're going to truly be on the Lord's side, you just have to separate. And nowadays, we act like separation is a bad word. We act just like it's a bad word. I went to a funeral for a friend of mine. Oh, it's been probably 10 years or so at least ago, and he pastored for years here in Fort Worth, and his son preached a funeral. And his son got up, and during that funeral said, now Dad, he pastored back in a time of, where there was a lot of legalism. Well, what he meant was, hey, Dad believed in separation and I don't. Now, that's what he meant. And, I thought, you sorry rascal. You're not good enough to kiss the feet of your dad, all right? But anyway, hey, he had to separate. Separation is a biblical concept. There's things we just need to do. Hey, sometimes it's individuals. You got to separate from individuals. Moses called those folks, hey, separate yourself from that crowd. If you're on the Lord's side, come over here. Let's stand out. Let's identify. There's activities you need to separate from. There's philosophies. There's places. I mean, just goes on and on. There's things that you and I, if we're going to follow the Lord and we're going to be on His side, it ought to be obvious we're on His side. It ought to be obvious. That means separation. But I'm going to tell you this, it didn't stop with separation. Had it have stopped with separation, maybe the world wouldn't condemn somebody like Moses now. But look at verse 27. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And children of Israel, the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. You say, preacher, what in the world is going on? Now, the world today would condemn such action in a heartbeat. But can I just say this to you, all right? In general, you can't judge the actions of people in the past by today's standards and today's situations. We've got that going on in our country. They're trying to deny history and erase history. Look, you can't judge those in the past by today's standards, today's situations. All right? You can't do it. And you definitely can't come along and condemn Moses here because Moses is doing what God wanted him to do. You said, well, what was going on? Why was this necessary? All right? I want you to go back and look with me, all right? I want you to go back and look with me at verse 1, okay? Verse 1 of chapter 32. It says, and the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him. Now, who came? All of them? Every one of the people? No. But there's always, if you have rebellion, there's always leaders in the rebellion. There's always leaders. You have those that are going to try to get you to go against what God says. They may drag you in. Now, you may come willingly. You may come a little bit grudgingly. Or you may decide, not me, I ain't coming at all. But, there's some that were headed this whole system up. And I believe with all my heart, that's the people that were killed. I don't believe these Levites went through there and just anybody got close, they killed them. They were led by God to pick out those that had led in the action, and they said, we're going to stop it now. You say, why did it take that? Because had that sin not been stopped, it would have destroyed countless others in the days ahead. Because it spreads. It spreads. You get somebody that is determined enough to do what these folks did so quickly after Moses was gone just for a short while. You got some rebellious elements in the crowd, all right? Now, I don't want you for a minute to think, okay, preacher, point out the one you want me to kill. Relax, I don't want you to kill anybody. Okay, don't want you to do that. In our day, in the New Testament time, and under the New Testament grace that we have, God's given us ways to deal with things. But some of those ways mean, it does mean, hey, kill them, no, but we might have to cut them off completely. Even to the point of putting them out of the church. Have nothing to do with them. Ostracize them, if you will, however you want to say it. See, the Bible gives us those things in the book of Corinthians, how to deal with that kind of rebelliousness and how to deal with those that are opposed and try to destroy the things of God. He said there's a way to deal with them. You get rid of them. You put them out. You don't let them in. You say, preacher, you mean wouldn't let them come to church? Yeah, somebody like that wouldn't let them come to church. You say, that'd be a terrible thing to do. It would. Now, we don't do it for everything or anything, okay? We don't do it for everything or anything. But, I mean, we wouldn't do it. It would have to be an extreme case. But that's the kind of situation God's dealing with. It doesn't mean we'd kill them, but we're going to cut them away, all right? If they lead in rebellion against God, rebellion that will destroy the character of everybody, hey, they've got to be dealt with. They got to be dealt with. I mean, if somebody come in the back door and they've got smallpox, okay, hopefully they wouldn't get in the back door. But if we found somebody and they had smallpox, we wouldn't invite them in and welcome them, okay? Wouldn't do that. So why? Well, it's disease. It caused a lot of problems. Yes, it will. But I'll tell you, the sin problem is a mighty big problem that we have to deal with. Moses had to deal with that situation in his day. And it caused Moses to step up and do what he did, but that's not all he did. Would you look at verse 30? Look at verse 30. Now, wait a minute. Let me remind you what's happened, okay? Let me remind you what happened. Moses up on the Mount of God. God's dealing with him, talking with him, giving him the law. And then God says, Moses, you've got to get down there. The people have corrupted themselves. Now he goes down to find a bunch of people that have thrown their earrings together. They've fashioned an idol. They've changed God into a cow. Can you believe that? Changed God into a cow, this golden calf. And here they are in the most illicit, immoral kind of worship, and I use that word carefully, all right, around this golden calf, a very wicked kind of thing going on. He was aggravated. His anger, the Bible said, waxed hot, and he those two tablets of stone that the finger of God had put the commands on, Moses threw them down and broke them, all right? Moses threw them down. He was hot against his own people. But I want you to notice he still prayed for them. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Now I want you to notice what he prayed. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Hey, you talking about somebody that loved his people. Moses loved his people. Moses loved his people. You said, man, he didn't love them. He killed 3,000 of them. Yeah, to keep the other ones safe. To keep the other ones safe. But he was willing to come face to face with God and say, Lord, I admit they've sinned, but if you will, would you forgive them? And if you won't, then blot my name out of the book. Let, you know, put it on me instead of on them. Put it on me. Boy, here's a guy that loved his people. Here's a leader that was willing to step up and say, yep, they're wrong. And he told the people, I'm going to go and maybe, just maybe, all right? Just maybe I can make an atonement for the sin, all right? That's what I want to try to do. What are you saying? I'm saying you never quit praying for those who stray from the Lord. You never quit praying for them. Never. Never give up. Hey, there's somebody you know that maybe used to be faithful in the house of God. Don't quit praying for them. Don't write them off. Don't write them off. Don't decide, nah, it's done, it's over with. They'll never be, no, don't write them off. You keep praying. Moses had to deal with the sin of his people. And yep, there were critics, I'm sure. There were people that accused him of everything under the sun. I don't say this to you. Sin must be dealt with. Must be. It's true in a corporate sense as it was with the nation of Israel. It's true if it's in a church. It's true if it's in an individual. It has to be dealt with. Well, let me say this. If we'll deal with our sin, God doesn't have to do it. If we will deal with it, if we will come and confess it, then God doesn't have to do what he does. Listen, his judgment's worse than yours. His judgment's worse than the judgment of man. You don't want him to fall and stumble and say, well, Lord, here I am, just do whatever you want to with me. Listen, how much better if we realize and admit, okay, I'm wrong, I'm sinning, I've got sin in my life, and Lord, here it is, I'm going to confess it, I'm going to admit it, and I'm going to change it. We're going to correct it, we're going to forsake it. Well, how important it is we do that. And on our side, how important it is if we're not the one that sinned, we need to be able to forgive the one that has. And we need to pray for those that have yet to come back. Boy, we need to pray for them. Don't ever quit praying. Don't ever quit praying. There's some folks I know that, you know, we worked with and tried to help, and then it seemed like they took their own way. But they came back. I'm glad when they came back, people were willing to receive them. God help us to be. God forgives sin. You and I ought to forgive it. Let's keep praying for those. Those that we know, man, they're messed up, let's pray for them. But hey, if you're the one, get it right. Get it right, would you? Heavenly Father, help us tonight.